Hello and welcome to Taking Care of Business. I'm Jackie Mitchell. There's always a buzzword around. Always. Some are really annoying and some are great. So of course, you'd be pleased to know I've chosen a great one today to talk about. We are talking about resilience, and it's a word that everyone keeps talking about. And so I thought, oh, I'm going to find out a bit more about this, particularly if you're running your own business. I think resilience is a key theme that we need to probably learn a bit more about. I'm sure we can all build it up a bit more. So everyone seems to be talking about it, and got me thinking, why are they talking about it so much? Have we just had this aha moment and a light bulb moment that resilience is important? Or is it something to do with the kids today, that they seem to be lacking some resilience? There's some mixed views, so we're going to go through all that today. But it appears to be centred around empowering people to thrive in change and to challenge yourself. So today we find out also how to build it. I want to know how to build it. Today's show is made possible by our Peak Performance friends at eView Real Estate. So we thank them very much. Our first guest, we've got a big panel, big show today. Our first guest is a speaker specialising in children's resilience from A for Attitude. So I thought it's good to start with the first letter of the alphabet, A for Attitude Productions. Welcome, Julie Davey.
Thank you, Jackie. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you in the studio. Julie, now, what is resilience? How do you define it?
Oh, I think it's about bouncing back. It's about handling challenges and coming through better, not bitter.
Oh, I like better, not bitter. I love those little grabs.
Yeah.
Why has it become such a hot topic today? Why are people talking about it more than they ever have before?
Well, I think the statistics of particularly youth suicide, kids not coping. A few years ago I got asked to speak to a group of parents at a school about not wrapping your children in cotton wool. And it's a catch-22. You know, it's a bit more dangerous out there than when I was growing up. And so people are more protective of their children, and so they don't learn those skills that we learned about, falling over and getting back up again, looking after themselves.
So, yeah, it was interesting you mentioned that, because I thought to myself, is it real or imagined? Are we over-analysing it, or is it real that they are being wrapped in cotton wool more than they used to when we were young?
Well, that was given to me by the head of a school who was clearly seeing that in her school, in the students that she was teaching. So I don't know. Maybe other people might have some good views on that.
Yes, I'm sure the panel's going to really get stuck into that. And I'm really like it's an open book as far as those views are. And I'd like to sort of at least get some inkling into the bottom of that. Now, we've talked about how it affects children, and so we can talk a lot about what they think, and we think children do this and we think children do that. And you very kindly suggested, why don't we talk to one? So you brought a little friend along in here and a little Madison Bailey. Welcome to Taking Care of Business.
Thanks, it's great to be here.
Good to have you here, Madison. Now, can we just get an idea without being rude? Because you're never supposed, I was taught never supposed to ask a lady their age. But would you mind if I asked you how old you are?
I'm 14 years old.
14. And whereabouts do you go to school?
I go to Jemina Secondary College.
And what are your favourite subjects?
Probably music. And maybe a bit of art.
Yeah, now you love music. Were you in The Voice of Frankston? Did I read that right? Tell us a little bit about that.
So basically The Voice of Frankston is like a smaller version of The Voice just on the Mornington Peninsula.
Right.
Okay. So everyone around the Mornington Peninsula, any age, doesn't matter, can enter. There's a few prizes, like for me, for the junior category, I won $200. I got to record my own single. Called Your Spotlight.
Which we're going to play for you as a special surprise. Well, not a surprise anymore, but we're going to play for you today. So at our next break, if you continue listening after we have this chat, you'll listen to Madison's song. Did you write it?
Yes, I wrote it.
What inspired you to write it?
Well, I guess I have had a couple of like bullying issues when I was in primary school and high school, and I thought maybe if I wrote a song about being empowering and all that, maybe someone else could pick it up and they'd start feeling themselves again.
Tell us a little bit about when you were bullying. So what happened?
Well, most people would bully me about my size and my looks maybe because I'm very short. And I guess I was mostly bullied about that, like being called shorty and just maybe a couple of rude names. Yeah.
So were you picked on only, or were there other people being picked on?
I guess the first school I went to wasn't that great. There was a lot of bullying going around.
Mm.
But when I changed schools, I went to Rosebud Primary School. It stopped immediately. I had so many new friends. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. So when someone was bullying you, or do you still say being picked on?
Yeah.
Okay, because we didn't know the word bullying when I was at school. We used to say they're picking on me. So when you were being picked on, what was going through your head?
Well, because it happened so much to me, I would just believe what they said. Like sometimes they'd say, oh, you'd never make it to be a superstar or anything. I sometimes believe that.
So when you're at school, were you talking about being a superstar? Were you singing and things?
Yeah, I was singing.
So you were drawing attention to yourself, do you think? And then they sort of went, oh, no, we're going to drag her down a little bit. Is that sort of what happened?
Yeah.
Okay, so then how did you fix it? What did you tell yourself in your head?
Well, I just found out, well, I need to stand up for myself, and I also, not just myself, I need to help other people out there. So I started doing more music, started writing songs, and yeah.
Did you come home and tell your family about your problems?
Yeah,
or did you
always.
Keep it to yourself? Oh, you did.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. And you think that's important to have that environment at home that you can feel like you can talk about anything?
Definitely. Okay. It's definitely important.
That helped you. And what about the teachers at school? Did you have a talk to them as well?
I talked to most of them, yeah. Mm. Some of them weren't amazing with it, but most of them were pretty good about it.
Yeah, okay. And so when you wrote this song, is this the first song you've ever written?
Yes.
So how do you go about writing a song?
I mean, it was a pretty hard thing
to
do.
Yeah. So what, tell us, give us a clue, give us your secret. How did you do it?
Well, I guess I just thought of some things after I got a couple of tunes that related to me being bullied and stuff. So that's how I came up with the lyrics. I teamed up with Ian Pav, Pav Industry, and we did a co-write together of the song. So he did the music.
Okay, so I'm just going to go back. Did you write the words first or did you come up with the tune first?
The tune first.
Oh, okay. Because do you know that different songwriters work that way, or do they all work differently, or is there a certain formula?
Yeah, they all work very differently.
Okay. And have you got a favourite songwriter? Have you got someone that you love that you think, oh, I really would love to be them and learn from them?
Yeah, not really songwriters, but mostly performers. Like, I'm a very Broadway performer.
Oh, okay. So who do you love from Broadway?
I think my favourite person at the moment would be Paul Capsis.
Oh, who's that? Tell us about him.
He's a very Broadway person. I met him in the city after seeing a show, and I showed him a couple of my videos. He's like, you're amazing, and he really inspired me after his performance as well.
Is he Australian?
Yes, he is.
And what shows has he been in that we might know?
He's been in a couple of inappropriate shows,
Oh, tell us, please.
Rocky Horror Picture Show and
one of my favourites.
Cabaret.
Yes, okay. Yeah. So a little bit raunchy.
Yeah.
So have you seen them? Were you allowed to go and look at them?
I saw Cabaret not long ago last year.
Yeah.
It was very fun though, yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie with Liza Minnelli in it?
No, I haven't yet.
Oh, well, I know your mum's here today. Hi, Naomi. She's here being supportive. And maybe get that on, on a video. I'm so old school. It's probably on Netflix now, or at least on Foxtel or something, or the video store, and watch Liza Minnelli, because she's a great performer.
I've seen her videos. They're very amazing.
Mm.
Jackie, I just want to tell you that we had a kids event, a Can Do Kids Club event earlier this year, and we wanted to promote it. So Andrew and I sat down one morning just for about 10 minutes, put some words down and to the tune of Cabaret, shot them through to Naomi and said, can you get Madison to sing these words to that tune? And by 5:30 that night, Madison was off playing with a friend, and she went home and she rewrote, because our words didn't fit the tune properly.
Mm.
And she performed it. We put it on YouTube, we put it on Facebook. It got 3,500 hits in 3 days.
So those listening want to see it. If they go onto YouTube and Google Madison Bailey, they'll find it?
Or maybe Attitude Books.
Attitude Books.
Foundation Facebook page. It's right up the top there.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic little clip. And she's just, you should see it. It's wonderful. Excellent
Madison,
work.
Do you write poems as well?
No.
No, you just like writing the songs. So you get the tune in your head and then the words come out.
Yeah.
And do you make the words rhyme when you write your song?
Sometimes and like sometimes not. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, it varies. Are you still writing?
Yeah, I still write music.
Okay. Yeah. And have you got an album in you? Do you think?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. Julie, with the A for Attitude, now I know Madison's an ambassador for the A for Attitude Foundation. Tell us a little bit about that ambassador program.
She's our first ambassador. Oh, so we don't really have a program. We just have Madison.
Well, it's a start. It's a start of a program.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I like the idea.
We also have a kids club captain who is a friend of Madison's, Hannah, and she's a singer as well, and she's terrific. They both go to the same school. So the Attitude Book Foundation started a couple of years ago, and it was all about getting the book A for Attitude into the hands of every grade 3 child in Australia every year to build resilience.
And how's
life.
That going? How's business going?
Well, we've paved our way slowly. We've come up against roadblocks. We're looking at how we can get into every school, and so we're always trying new ways to get in touch with schools. So but we're getting there. So
I like the ambassador program, particularly because it starts with A.
Yes. But look, what better ambassador brilliant. Than this young lady?
Yeah, and then Madison can inspire others to maybe join the program. So with the foundation, Julie, are you just in Victoria or around Australia, internationally? What's the...
We started off as a not-for-profit in Victoria and we became an Australian registered body so that we could trade right around Australia. And we last year received a grant of $20,000 from the IMB Bank in New South Wales, and that was the purpose of... So we, once we got that grant, we had to then register as the Australian registered body. And so, look, it's open to all schools around Australia, and we're going to have competitions where if children want me as the author to visit them, I'll go anywhere in Australia to any remote community, and I want to show them that anything's possible. So if there'll be some sort of criteria for entering this competition, and it will have to come from the kids, and we want to show them that if you dream of something, that it's possible. It'll come through the schools purchasing the books or someone sponsoring the books, which is
so available. Anyone interested in finding more information, now don't forget your website. Where do people find you, Julie?
Attitudebooks.org.
Great. And your Facebook page, you use that a lot?
That you can link through that. Yeah, we do. Yeah, and we've got Jo Petrillo's on our board, and she does a lot of marketing for us through Instagram and Facebook. But it's all the links are through the website.
Excellent. Madison and Julie, will you stick around for the rest of the show?
Yeah, definitely.
We'd love to.
Oh, good, because we're going to listen to Madison's song on the other side of this break. You're listening to Taking Care of Business exclusively here on RPFM, and we're talking resilience, and we'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Taking Care of Business. We are standing tall in here today, and we are shining the spotlight on the topic resilience today. And that was our guest, Madison Bailey. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What's it feel like listening to your song on the radio?
It feels really amazing that people are able to hear it.
Did it feel strange? Did it feel weird listening to yourself sing on radio?
Not really.
No, that's cool. Okay. And what would you suggest to someone who is being bullied at school? What advice would you give them?
Don't stop believing, even if people do bring you down. It just doesn't mean that they'll get any higher than you.
Okay. And if you are having some problems at school, what do you think people should do?
Go straight to a teacher, or if you can't find a teacher, go to wellbeing or your parents if you can.
Okay. That's good advice. That's really good advice. And we're joined here by Julie Davey from the A for Attitude Foundation. And we're talking resilience now. Our panel extends now. We're going to get stuck into a few more. We're going to dig a bit deeper, get stuck into a few more issues about resilience. And our first guest is a regular on the show. And ironically, that Madison song was mentioned Stand Tall. And it made me think about Walk Tall Mary.
Absolutely did. I love the Stand Tall idea, Madison. I thought that was fabulous.
Mary Unwin, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here, Jackie.
Always good to have you here as our... And I was trying to think, now, what are you? You are a personal and professional development coach.
Yes, that's it. Yes, that would be it. I'm really about walking tall.
You are about
walking. Or standing tall, as Madison was saying.
Yeah. Have you got your high heels on today?
I've got my high heels on and my boots tall. Yep, standing tall.
Now, what's resilience to you?
Resilience for me is about flexibility, being able to move with the times, move with the moment, and letting go of that tendency to feel that we might need to be rigid or hold on to a set of rules, but to be able to be flexible, move with what's happening around us.
So what are some of the issues that you come across in your work life, I suppose?
I come across people who think that they're perhaps not resilient or not strong and feel as though they've somehow need to regain it or build it.
Okay, so it's related to your belief system, is that right?
It's related. I always think of it as being something, I often say to people, where did it go? Where did you put it? How about you find it?
So are we actually all born with resilience?
I think we're born with an inner instinct to survive. That's the natural physiology of a baby. And that is something that we can hold on to as we grow.
Okay, so how do you build it?
How do you build it? I would encourage people to look within. So I'm asking questions about when was the last time you felt as though you were really strong and flexible and being resilient and determined about whatever you were attempting to do.
So is visualization part of that process, like a mental rehearsal, I suppose, that you encourage people to think about?
Well, you've actually encapsulated two of those, Jackie. So visualization is seeing where you were back then when you were being strong and resilient, and the mental thing is thinking about it. So some people prefer to think their version of resilience through, and other people will visualise and see themselves going forward with strength, determination, flexibility, all of that.
Okay. So we have Madison Bailey joining us today, who's a 14-year-old who is an ambassador for the A for Attitude Foundation, Julie Davey here, who's a speaker and author and knows all things about attitude and resilience and travels the world talking to people and inspiring people doing that. I've got Walk Tall Mary here, and then I've gone, okay, I need another person. Now, where's the fit to the jigsaw? And then I came across this lovely person, and I thought, okay, what is he? Who is he? What does he do? And I saw behavioural specialist, and I've gone, that is perfect. I need a behavioural specialist in here. Jordan DeBano, welcome to Taking Care of Business.
Thank you, Jackie.
Now, what's a behavioural specialist? I like the title. Tell us a little bit about what it is.
Well, a behavioural specialist pretty much looks at people's actions, people's words, how they behave on a day-to-day basis, and make sure everything's consistent. So if someone is going to work every day saying that they want to make a lot of money or they want to be a fantastic sales rep or work with a lot of sales reps, but their actions aren't following those words, then we get in alignment and see where the incongruence is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. How did you get into that? Like, were you at school going, I'm going to be a behavioural specialist? Like, how did it start? Take us back.
Well, I believe it all started with my first ever business, JD Coaching. It was a sports coaching business, and I'd been running it ever since I was 12. So
12?
12.
Hang on, can I just stop you there? Pause. I need to pause that bit. How did that happen? How did at 12, what was going through your head at 12 to start that business?
Well, ever since I was probably around 3 years old, I had a stutter. So it would take me at least 5 minutes to get out one sentence.
Okay.
And most kids at, 12 years old would want to play sports and, get out there and socialize with a lot of people. But I had this, this inner drive, you were just talking about it. I just wanted to get up and empower kids that I could see at that same stage that weren't feeling confident, that weren't just getting out there and having a go. And I felt like out of all that challenge I had with my stutter, it almost built up this value, which I talk about a lot, that you've got these inner values that drives you. And because I'd had so much challenge around speaking, I already had such a void in my life where I wanted to speak. So I remember at 12, 14, all through my teenage years, I was standing in front of 30, 40, 50 kids and just speaking, just teaching. So by the time I got to my early 20s, I was ready.
How did you fix the stutter? Was it just through practice or did you get some professional help?
I got some help. I went to a speech pathologist. I met an amazing human behavioural specialist, Dr. DeMartini.
I know. Yeah. Okay. So he's inspired you
He's definitely inspired me.
I got to the bottom. I like to dig and get to the bottom of how you got to here. I've actually seen him speak.
Yes.
He's very inspirational, not unlike Tony Robbins, that sort of style.
He was kind of the last, I would say, jump that I needed to make to get over the stutter. because I'd always been nervous socially and speaking on stage and consulting, and he constantly talks about your values. Mm. And when I got clear on my values, I was able to build more resilience, more drive, and realize that, you know, I always had something to say. I never had to overthink it.
Okay. So that then dropped. So when you were 12 and you started, what was it? Your sports?
Sports coaching business.
Why sport?
I was never good at sport. So once I learned...
So you were drawn to something you weren't so good at?
Yeah. Really? I've always been the kind of guy, if I can't master it, I'm going to master it and I'm going to teach it.
Okay.
I'm gonna master it, and I don't care how long it takes. When I master it, I'm going to teach it.
And that's just part of your personality profile.
I've always been like that.
Have you got siblings?
I've got a younger brother.
And is he similar or not?
Sometimes I look back and I think my younger brother inspired me to be just such a dedicated coach, because when I saw him not being able to perform as a, you know, just as a soccer player or basketball player, I would get this fire. I just thought, you're not going to go what I went through. So getting back on how I got to where I am now, I got obsessed with learning, why did I become a coach at 12?
Mm.
Why did I always think bigger? Why did I always have something to say? And then I found Demartini's teachings, learnt, and got into it.
Oh, now we've gone a little bit off track, because your story, I didn't know that. It was really fascinating. I'm sure everyone's been fascinated listening to that. Now we've established who Jordan is. I'm dying to hear more about you and more about your views on resilience, but we'll just have to pause that thought. I'll put the pause button back on again. We need to take a short break. We hope you're enjoying eavesdropping on this fascinating conversation right here on Taking Care of Business. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Taking Care of Business. Am I strong enough? I'm feeling really strong today because of my guest here in the studio. We're talking about resilience, and it's turning in, I knew it would turn into a fascinating discussion. I'm joined here by Julie Davey from A for Attitude Foundation, Madison Bailey, who's a wonderful singer, very talented artist, 14 years old, and she is a great ambassador for the A for Attitude Foundation. Also, someone who's very tall, could hardly fit into the studio, walk tall me. Mary Unwin, yes, and she's standing up and being Mary, being good tall. On you, being tall, and also our other guest today, Jordan DeBarno, and we were just talking with Jordan at the break, and I got a little bit distracted, and because your story was so interesting, so I just continued with it, and I hope everyone, I'm sure those listening found it as interesting, because I like to know where... You know, all of you are incredible in your own right, and I always, it's a bit sort of my Oprah moment, but I like to go, well, how did they get there? What was their journey? And I think when people are listening to their journey, they go, I can relate to that. It's about being relatable. And I think sometimes when, particularly business, you listen to people and you watch people that are really successful, you know, the Richard Bransons and the Bill Gates, and you can't relate to them. As a particularly a small business owner, you go, I'm never going to be a billionaire. You know, I can't believe how much they do. And that's sort of, they become almost a fairy tale. And so with this show, one of the elements of this show that I'm really proud of is getting extraordinary people like yourselves that we've got in the studio today, but going back to where they came from, and it's sort of humble beginnings, but what it shows, it's possible. And I think that's a really inspiring and important message. And we're talking resilience today. And I think that whole message about being it's possible and getting over it and things, we talked about attitude, Julie Davey, didn't we? How important attitude is. But attitude is important. But what other elements are there with being resilient besides attitude? Are there any other particular elements that are as important as attitude, or is it all about attitude?
I think attitude's the building block. That's the first step, really. You know, if you can sit on the, you have to put your attitude into action though, right, as well. Okay. You can sit on the couch and say, I'm terrific and I can do it, but you have to get out and do it.
You have to convert.
Yes.
Yes, in good old sporting terms. Now, Jordan DeBarno, I'm getting back to you now. What's your definition of resilience?
My definition of resilience is people focusing on what truly inspires them. If someone's not inspired, it means they need resilience. When they're inspired, they don't need to be told to keep going through challenge. Mm-hmm. So I speak to a lot of business owners and sales reps, and they always say, I'm lacking motivation. And I'll say, well, you're not focusing on what's really important to you, why you're doing what you're doing.
Right. Okay. And how do you build resilience?
I believe you build resilience by taking on challenges that you want to take on. So if a sales rep or a business owner loves to get on stage and speak, and that's a challenge that truly inspires them, take it on. But if it's a marketing challenge and it doesn't really inspire them, they're going to need a heck of a lot of motivation to go after that. So I always say take on something that lights you up and challenge yourself with it.
Okay. And Mary Unwin, Walk Tall Mary, now you talk about a lot about being good enough.
Sure.
So linking that to resilience, how do you know when you are enough?
I think you have to look within and find that and trust that and get some help if you need to be re-inspired about how awesomely unique we all are, and therefore we can all find that within us. But sometimes we need some help to actually shine the spotlight on that. Or I call it always already good enough. So it's just that we lose sight of it, which is the sight is the inspiration. It's the same word. It's all about light. And so shining the light onto what's really important and what's really particular and special about us.
So is it related to confidence?
I think it's related to confidence and courage. I like to think of courage as being something that comes from the heart and inspires our behaviours and our actions going forward.
Jordan, how is resilience linked to confidence in your view?
Well, resilience, when you start to take on challenges that inspire and you continue to accomplish those challenges, you're going to build confidence
in it. It builds.
It's just like a muscle.
So building resilience, confidence is a key ingredient. Would you agree or disagree?
100%. Okay. I think a lot of people aren't focusing on taking on the right challenges, so they're not getting enough wins. So then they're not building the skills, they're not getting enough practice, and they don't have enough confidence.
Does you, in all your work, Jordan and Mary and Julie and Madison, you're welcome to contribute to the conversation. If you've got an opinion, I love to hear it. With all the people that you're dealing with, what are some of the common roadblocks that you come across, Jordan?
I want to tell a bit of a story, actually.
I love your stories.
Yeah,
please do.
This is very relevant. Yeah. With JD Coaching, there was a reason why I stopped that business and created what I'm doing now. So fast forward, I had been named in the top 30 under 30 entrepreneurs when I was 21 because JD Coaching had gotten to a certain point. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough because for such a long time, I'd been driven by proving people wrong that I wanted to make it in business. When that happened, because I was always focused on proving people wrong, comparing myself to other people, I had low levels of confidence. So the business stopped being about the kids, and it started being about, am I beating that person? Am I beating this person? Am I beating...
So it became about competition.
It became about competition. Mm. So I always say when you're comparing yourself to someone, you lower your self-worth, you lower your confidence, you lower your resilience, and you stop focusing on you. So for me, I remember standing out the front of my house one night. The business had gone into a massive slump. We'd lost a lot of our deals, and I wanted to commit suicide. Because I was comparing myself to an idea that I thought, you know what, if I'm like Joe Blow down the street that has a sports coaching company that's gone across Australia, I would be better off. But because I kept comparing myself, my confidence went down. So I dedicated to myself when I got out of that rut that night, I'm never going to go through that again.
Can I just interrupt you? How did you get out of that rut?
A week later, I went to a seminar. And that's where I met John.
So when that thought went through your head
that
you wanted to commit suicide,
so
you had a week. Did you consistently think about that for 1 week before you met
Dr. John? It was hard to get out of bed. It was really tough. But there was one kind of thing that kept me going. I went to one school and I remember giving a talk to the kids on what I needed to hear. So it's funny, you know, on my last legs, I gave a talk about stop comparing yourself to other people and start focusing on you. 20 kids ran to me and gave me a massive group hug. I remember I broke down in tears and I said, I have to stay alive. I have to stay up.
That was it.
Because there's more. And then when I saw John, he taught me that my values had changed. And that's when I thought, oh, now I want to do this, you know. So
you had a huge mental shift.
It was a huge shift because I was comparing myself to something that I didn't want to do anymore. Mm. That's why for 3 months, my self-worth just went plummet.
Did you tell anyone that you were having these feelings or thinking this way?
No.
Why not?
I was the business owner.
Was it pride?
It was pride. I just had what some people would say the biggest accolade or success of my life at 21. And I felt like you're being so ungrateful for this award. You've just made it. And I go, no. I need to tell someone. I'm like, no, you can't. So probably a message I would share with a lot of people in business, if there's something wrong, speak up. Drop the pride. It doesn't do your clients, your brand, any service for you holding it in and trying to keep this front. Because I did that for a long time and I was lucky. I was lucky that I met the right people, had those kids and came here.
Well, I always have a view that the harder you work, the luckier you get. Mm. So something that you've done about yourself, whether your parents did something for you or whether you were born with that, but something inside you drove you. Mm. It wasn't luck.
I look at my mum as a massive inspiration. So after my mum and my dad divorced at a younger age, my mum got into real estate and had no experience in selling or anything. And I watched her come home, not having any listings, not having any deals, slowly scale up and learn how to sell and how to master behavior to provide a living for us. And I was incredibly touched by that. So I thought, how can I learn that?
There you go. Okay.
And that's how I, again, took after what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. It's interesting, I think, that in this day and age, the divorce rate is higher than ever before. And that will be affecting children because, you know, having two parents, no matter, you know, who they are, two people or one person, doesn't have to be two, I shouldn't say that, probably one, but just having a parent, as a child, they're your foundation.
Yeah.
That's where you lean on and that support. Now, if that foundation starts to crumble, that, of course, is going to overflow into young people who are still developing their sense of self, still developing this sort of rational thought and their emotional being and all those elements. Their brain is still developing. Your prefrontal cortex develops until your early 20s. So your brain is still developing. And sometimes these have huge impacts on your subconscious. You're not even aware of it, but it certainly has an impact in your life. Julie, Davey, with dealing with children, have you seen any patterns or common threads with children from, let's say, a broken home? For the sake, it's a harsh term, but let's just for the sake of that, as opposed to those that are from a more stable family environment?
Well, I don't counsel children. I wrote my book because it's all everything I wanted to know when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
And but I do have a lovely story about a girl who was 10 when I wrote A for Attitude 19 years ago, and her father bought the book and took it home. Her parents were splitting up. Her father gave it to her, and somebody who he knew had got me to sign it. I don't remember that, but she remembers it because it's written in the and a message to her is written in the front of the book, and she showed it to me a couple of years ago and said that helped her through that period. So definitely children at that age, you know, young age when their parents are splitting up. I've heard a lot of children think that the marriage is splitting up because of them. You know, they take it personally, so wrong. But how do you get to them? And a teacher recently said to me that, I sound like I'm here plugging my book, but it's wonderful that, because it's a visual thing and it's written down, children can take it away and read it, and it's sort of like a little security blanket for some children. This particular teacher said she had her son was doing something that wasn't appropriate, sent him to his room, and she checked on him 10 minutes later and he had the book out reading it, and that was giving him some confidence and some scope to think rather than being told what to do by the mother. And so it's, I don't know. As I said, I'm not a child psychologist, but I provided that for children because it's exactly what I would have liked to have had.
Yeah, I just went down that path, Jordan, from your story, and I've come from divorced parents when I was a teenager as well, so I can relate to things. Now I look back and go, oh, that was weird. I was thinking weird stuff. How come I was thinking weird stuff? And then, you know, being exposed to other people around that. And I've always sort of thought, has there been a connection with it, looking at our lifestyle now? And we started the show talking about resilience and why it has been such an increased topic, that children now are being wrapped in cotton wool from when most of us here were growing up. So on the other side of this break, I'd like to continue that discussion about this theory of cotton wool versus, you know, getting dirty out in the street, because there might be some clues there that we unravel. We are talking about resilience today. It is a really great show. I'm really enjoying it. I hope you're enjoying it as much as we are. And thank you for listening to Taking Care of Business. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Taking Care of Business. We won't fall here at Taking Care of Business. We're talking about resilience. Not today anyway. We're not going to. We are joined here by Julie Davey and Madison Bailey from the A for Attitude Foundation. Walk Tall Mary Unwin and Jordan DeBarno, the behavioural specialist. Just as we come on the home straight here on Taking Care of Business, we could talk for another hour, but we're going to run out of time. I just want to touch on a couple of issues. And Walk Tall Mary, I want to talk to you about bouncing back. How important is that and how do you do it?
I think the resilience idea is about being able to be flexible enough to allow the bounce, mm-hmm. to allow the bounce of life, and to be able to bounce forward as well as to bounce back. There's actually a book written by a man called Sam Cawthorn, who's a local, about the idea of bouncing forward when tricky times or challenges, the challenges that Jordan was talking about, arise in life, as they do, being able to be resourceful and resilient enough to bounce back and forward into whatever direction you choose.
Yeah, okay. John DeBarno, you've shared with us an incredible story today, and I'd like to ask you about the importance of self-worth.
Self-worth is everything. For me, I get up every day and I think about all the people that I can help with their self-worth, and I think about all these different ways that I can sell my self-worth. And I want to leave this with the business owners that are listening. Every single day, I believe it's a business owner's moral obligation to sell something that's truly meaningful to keep their self-worth high. Sales in business can be about money, contracts, and what have you, mm-hmm. or it can be about something that's really meaningful to you that you're providing to the world. And if you take on challenges to build your resilience and continue to sell what's important to you, you'll have very high levels of self-worth.
That's a nice.
He's got a lovely big smile on his face. There's an inspiration about the fact that you're satisfying your self-worth through the building of self-worth among the others that you're working with.
I think, yeah, thank you for that. I think it's so important because there's many people that are just existing and just waiting for people to give them something instead of giving first. So that's, yeah.
Now, one word we haven't mentioned today, which we should before we finish, is the word stress. And we seem to all be more stressed than ever before. Mm. So how is stress and resilience linked, Jordan?
Stress is a lie to yourself when you look at a situation and you can't see how it's helping you. Any situation can help you. I look at that moment out on my street and I say that's the most inspiring moment of my life when I was suicidal. Because every morning now I get up, I don't want to waste a day.
Mm.
That stress, I was lying to myself. So anyone that's stressed is just lying, can't see how it, whatever that situation is, they can't see how it's helping them.
So when you get stressed, and we all do because you're human, even though you sound superhuman, but you actually
I'm not
are.
Superhuman.
I know. You sound like your words are wonderful, but you are human for those listening and you are going to get stressed. What goes through your head? The minute you start experiencing stress, what do you tell yourself?
I look at whatever I wish was happening.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the fantasy and I look at all the drawbacks and I don't stop until I get appreciative for where I am right now. I don't dream, I don't hope, I just do it.
So it's about gratitude.
It's about gratitude for now.
Okay. Yeah. And I know someone said once a really good idea is to write the gratitude list. And I know many business people, some successful, some not, but that's okay.
Yep.
But what they do every morning, those that aren't successful will become successful, you know. But sure. They write a gratitude list every morning. They spend 10 minutes to their form of meditation.
Absolutely.
And that works for them. But it's about being the power of now, isn't it?
Yeah.
About being in the present and what
it's
you're grateful for.
It's also about the importance of the starting part of your day. So what you're describing early on, you wake up and the first thoughts, the first writings, journalizing, whatever it is, that's really setting the tone for the day. And so if our first thoughts are ones of gratitude and enjoyment about what we're going to be doing in the day, but the gratitude for what's happened or the simple thing like looking out the morning and the sunshines or whatever it is, those moments set the tone for the whole day.
Tone's important. Julie Davey, you would have heard of the term positive psychology.
Yes.
And how important is that? And can you explain how that's related to attitude?
Well, that's about focusing on what you want instead of focusing on what you don't want. And like, you know, it's been said before today, thinking about things that we can do and being grateful for what we can do. Like Martin Seligman is the fellow who said, think of what went well when you're driving your children home from school, instead of saying, how was your day? And you know, usually kids will say, no, okay, or whatever. Just ask them questions and get them to tell you what went well today. And if you do that at night before you go to bed, you're going to bed with a positive psychology. You're going to bed with positive thoughts, and that's usually what you will think about before you go to sleep, is what you dream about. And people who watch horror movies on television and expect to have a good night's sleep, well, good luck.
That's good.
It's absolutely true. Neuroscience has certainly proven ever to have evidence for that. It's not just magical thinking that happens. But it's really the can-do thinking versus can't-do thinking, isn't it?
Yeah, and a few years ago I wrote a program. I made an app, but Apple have taken it off. Thanks very much, Apple. Because we didn't sell enough. We only sold about 700, and we had to sell enough to be able to update it with all the iOS updates. But it's called The Fabulous First 5 Minutes, and it's about waking up in the morning, and for the first 5 minutes you think about all the things you can do and set your plan for the day. And there's a tree involved, and you write down, you prepare for that first 5 minutes by writing down the things that the problems, your assumed problems, and then flip them over, because everything has a flip side. You know, you can't have up without down.
No.
And looking what Jordan did when he was facing that, you know, committing suicide is looking for something good that he could do and for helping others. And you know, there's so much we could talk all day.
We could, but we have to go. Yes. Madison Bailey, thank you for coming in. Thank you for sharing your song with us. We might have to get you back to sing live in the studio, maybe on the arts program. But no, maybe my program.
She's got some new fans in the room today.
I just would like you to leave us with a pearl of wisdom.
Well, love yourself for who you are and not what people want you to be.
Beautifully said. Thank you, Madison Bailey. And thank you, Mum Naomi. Thanks for bringing your beautiful daughter in here. Julie Davey, A for Attitude Foundation. Always a delight to see you.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you. Always love your attitude. A+. I've just marked you with my red pen.
Yeah.
Jordan DeBarno, thank you very much for sharing your story today. You've been very generous with your insights, and it's been a delight meeting you, and I look forward to our next encounter and having
you
back
on
the show.
Appreciate it.
Mary Unwin, keep walking tall. Can you not get any taller?
Can
you just
not,
keep
I'm just
growing.
Loving it. I'm loving it.
You're loving it, aren't you? Yeah, I know.
I'm loving all these tall people in the room also.
Yeah. Okay, well, you have to go soon because the RPFM chopper, the helicopter's just landed.
Oh,
so,
it?
Yes,
you get a helicopter ride today, do
yes,
we?
Yes, you do.
Good,
yeah,
I'm excited.
I'll get you down there. Thanks again for listening. We hope that you feel a little bit inspired today and you've learned something new. We look forward to your company next Friday at 11 a.m. In the meantime, don't give up and keep taking care of your business.